All right, Randy's going to talk to us about operating Folsom Dam during rain on snow events. She has been working for the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation since 2001. She had responsibility of water operations of Folsom and Nimbus dams on the American River from 2012 through 2016 during the last major drought. And she has also has operations experience on the Stanislaus, Sacramento, and Trinity Rivers, where she currently has operational responsibility. So, Randy, thank you for talking to us today.
Thanks for the introduction. Can everyone hear me okay? And is the screen on the title page?
We can hear you, and it
Okay,
looks great.
great. Okay, thank you. I want to just thank Gary and Dell and Mary again for the invitation to present today. And of course, like I said, this is actually following Pete Fickinter's presentation and great timing. So talking about specific location here, Folsom Dam and operations, particularly during that rain and snow event. And first here, we'll take a look at where we are, just to locate yourself if you're not familiar with where Folsom Lake is, although it's been a topic here of the symposium many times. So just due west of Lake Tahoe, we're looking at a fairly decent sized watershed that's influenced by the Sierra Nevada Range. We're also looking at the tail end of that, the reservoir itself, just shy of 1 million acre feet of storage capabilities. But it was what is of interest are the characteristics of the watershed itself and the reservoir. We do this is operated by the Bureau of Reclamation. It's a multi-objective reservoir. We're looking at one of the purposes, the primary interest would be for this topic, the flood control or protection components, but it is also operated for water supply, environmental purposes, meeting requirements in the downstream watershed areas, and hydropower generation, as well as recreation and others. This watershed has a fairly high refill potential. With that, I mean, in years, almost 50% refill potential. So, 1 out of every 2 years, we would expect a Folsom reservoir to fill. So, it has a fairly high reoccurrence, in particular to the other reservoirs that we have in the system in California. And then, one last item that is important that it is positioned just upstream of a high density. Dense populated area and urban area of Sacramento. So flood protection is a major concern for the operation of Folsom Reservoir. So here we have a picture of the dam itself. It's recently had some construction activity. We finished up or very recently the completion of a auxiliary spillway. You can see that in the right-hand photo. And then also accompanying this joint facility project was the update of the water control manual. We finished that and completed it and are now operating to it as of 2019. And within that, we mentioned earlier this term FIRO, which stands for Forecast Informed Reservoir Operations. And I'll touch a little bit on that as well, because that was a major feature of both the construction of this auxiliary spillway and the operation of itself. So when I spoke with Gary, this now was back in early March, I think, wanted me to kind of talk about things and through the lens of the reservoir operations desk. And at that time, I was sitting at the desk in the office, and although we are at a remote desk now, there are still some questions that were out there. And when we compared notes, we found that these two were probably complementary questions to review. The one was, of course, do rain on snow events change the reservoir operations here at Folsom Dam? And then another question that's kind of out there is, do reservoir operations consider snowpack? And so we'll review, go over those two questions, a little bit of a background. Like I said, I'll mention going into that forecast-informed reservoir operations before we look at an example. So really the homework here of our success is where we sit at our desks normally, which is in the Joint Operations or HLUD Center. We have three agencies that are in the top half, actually physically are co-located. So it was the Bureau of Reclamation, the Department of Water Resources, and the National Weather Service, the California-Nevada River Forecast Center. And we do have a virtual desk for the Army Corps of Engineers. And we all do come and meet on a regular basis, particularly during flood management season, in order to communicate. And I also want to mention our partners, too, particularly with the American River System, SAFCA, or the Sacramento Area Flood Control Agency. And a shout out to kudos with them and their philosophy, really being prepared and ready for the next level of threat, and particularly during flood season. I really appreciate that as a reservoir operator. So just a little bit of background to get us oriented in as far as operations. This is a typical cross-section of the dam. And I did want to point out that this is for primarily the flood season. If we were going to move to a different season, like the summer period, you would see the threat of flood disappear. And that has to do with the runoff and chance of precipitation. So this slice right here is looking at the dam on your left-hand side and the conservation pool in blue. So that's kind of the safe spot. And as we start moving to higher and higher elevations, you start to increase your risk. So these colors are just indicating some caution, as there is a higher level here above the conservation pool that describes the flood reservation. This is the area or volume within the reservoir that we reserve for space in case a flood event occurs. And there's the last top layer there, which is surcharge, and that's sort of your danger part. So like I said, the risk is increasing as you move your way up to the higher elevations of the reservoir. But the main focus here is really on that orange part of the flood reservation. We note this other term that we use, which is the top of conservation, or TOC, and that is a variable piece. So this line actually moves up and down between the blue and the orange, depending on the time, and in Folsom's case, also depending on the seriousness threat or of increased precipitation or runoff in the coming shorter time frame. So that orange area that we just looked at, which is the flood reservation pool, it acts kind of like a shock absorber. So if you imagine it's the signal of inflow coming into the system to that reservoir basin, it absorbs and then dampens the signal downstream, because typically you're releasing less water downstream than the inflow is coming into the reservoir itself. So I'll just quickly step through what we call this flood curve, a diagram for the reservoir itself. On the x-axis, we have months through time, start at the beginning of the water year, which is October. And then on the y-axis, we just have storage or volume in the reservoir itself. And you can see that the requirement need to draw the reservoir down as you get closer to the winter months, December through March timeframe. And then you carve out that shock absorber, the flood reservation pool. And you'll notice that there's a shaded section in there for the forecast dependent variable space. So this is your FIRO, the forecast informed. So we've added an additional layer of flood safety protection depending on the forecast itself. And then as you move your way through the springtime frame, you can see that line increases over time to where there's no flood reservation pool as we get into the summer period, when those threats of flood are diminished all the way to zero. So this again is just kind of touching in on our operational paradigms. So FIRO, that forecast informed reservoir operations, really don't have any short-term operational changes due to a rain or snow event. And if I remember back to the prior presentation that Pete Pickinger provided, the National Weather Service, California Nevada River Forecast Center is providing this information or taking a look at the information presented on the very left-hand slide are the signals that are coming in over the Pacific. And we're looking at that water vapor signal. And you can see that the middle series of slides are showing that in a series of days, so either one day, 2 day, or 3 day out here in this example, you can see that it's predicting that it has some quantified precipitation. And so we're taking that information as the forecast and what is provided by the California Nevada River Forecast Center is this ensemble that was mentioned previously. And we typically refer to this as the spaghetti plot. You'll have this signal of inflow, which is on the y-axis through time. And you can see here that there's about 5 days presented. And we have confidence in that and ensemble information. We're utilizing that to make our reservoir operations decision-making. So in this case, we're looking at the forecast information, and that in turn sets the releases. So we are looking at a fairly confident exceedance probability. So we're right now utilizing the 25% exceedance probability of that spaghetti plot, if you will, that ensemble number of inflows coming in for a five-day period. We're quantifying the cumulative volume for a 1, 2, 3, and 5 day. It just so happens that day 4 didn't add any information to the mix, so we dropped that out. And the center plot then describes these various thresholds for those cumulative days that I mentioned. And if it passes through this test, if that volume exceeds the 300,000 acre foot threshold, then we make a decision on increasing releases from Folsom Reservoir because this has been, our confidence is high in this category. We have done hindcasts on this level of exceedance probability, and we have confidence that it's capturing these stronger events. He had pointed out there's an increasing amount of variability with these types of larger events in the system, and that's why we're using a high level of exceedance or a confidence with the 25% exceedance probability. If these thresholds don't meet the 300,000 cumulative volume, then we would consider not making any increases in releases. But that's pretty just a summary of the decision-making process. And of course, that's not all of the pieces of information that go into it. One other component on us considering a rain on snow event would be to enlist a tool called ensemble routing. In this case, we would take the inflow spaghetti ensemble pieces, inflow, and push them through a fairly simplistic mass balance. And this is where we just move the water through this reservoir system itself and to see what the capacities are. In this case, we're just using hypothetical routing with synthetic data. So on the y-axis, we're looking at pool elevation through time. On the x-axis, you can see in this case, we're just particularly pushing the envelope with the physical capabilities of the reservoir. In this case, you can see that there's a handful of routing that actually would overtop or exceed the dam. And of course, that's something that you would want to avoid at all costs. But this is just an example of another tool to utilize while you're evaluating the uncertainty during a storm event by looking at these different occurrences of maybe filling to a certain threshold, understanding capabilities, and you'll see how that performance plays out in time. Another piece of information that was mentioned previously, if a rain on snow event is to occur, are freezing elevations. I know this was mentioned earlier, some variability there, and I took this screenshot actually recently, so this is more of a summertime signal, but if we were to experience something of this magnitude during the winter period when there's snow or a considerable amount of snow in the watershed, it would be of great concern because then we would have some pre-understanding or warning of increased levels of runoff, as was mentioned in prior presentations. So I want to talk about 1 year as an example year. This is water year 2011, and it's not particularly an iconic year, like say 1997, as rain on snow. But there are a couple features that operationally that are interesting that I wanted to point out. So I'll describe the first two sets of plots on the upper side. The top describes the precipitation. This is actually measured at the dam. You can see that on the y-axis you have rain in inches. And then on the y-axis, or excuse me, the x-axis, we are moving through time. It starts at early in the water year is a fairly active precipitation or active year with some runoff responses picking up early in the season. And then the center plot here, we're looking at storage at Folsom Reservoir. The top blue line is gross pool. The shaded areas are defining, again, that flood curve, the rules to build that flood control space, that shock absorber that we talked about earlier. And then the solid blue line is the trace of the storage, Folsom storage volume through time. And you can see that it's moving around in response to inflows and outflows in the system. I'm going to move to the next slide where we'll focus in on the flow inflows and releases. And so one of the tools that we have in the toolbox is to talk about the pre-release capability. This does have some benefits, incorporate safety and flexibility in operation, safety from the sense of lowering your release flows. And where the arrow is pointed, so on the x-axis, sorry, we're going through time, and on the y-axis, we have flow in cubic feet per second. You can see that the green, which is outflow, Folsom Reservoir, is preceding the inflow. So in this case, we're looking into one of the tools that we have available for us to carve out in some more space in the reservoir so it can act better as a shock absorber through the system and play that out. And I just wanted to mention there's one piece of information that isn't contained within this plot, although there's a lot of information available, which is snow. And we've been talking about that. But in this year in particular, we did have a fairly robust snow system. And we'll move on. The next slide illustrates that. And so the product from the Department of Water Resources, looking at the snow pillow information, and you can see where I've got highlighted sort of the peak of the central for the first slide, their graphic, looking at the percent of April 1 snow water content. And it's peaking out about 150% of average. And you can see even in that December timeframe where that pre-release action was taken, over 50% of average there, the snowpack to date. So considering that this year was fairly productive as far as the snow is concerned, we can see that we would have concerns about the variability or the uncertainty in responding to runoff, particularly those storm events that occur through the season with that snowpack. And then sort of a relative picture of the snow. And another product that the Department of Water Resources provides us, which is very important is the quantification of that volume. So as we get into the season with a large developed snowpack, with potentially more storms to come. I think if you remember, there was a March storm that was quite large as well. That these seasonal operations really start to play in earnest based on how much we think the water will run off into the reservoir itself. So we're pointing here to April through July, which is a standard measure of what we are used for our forecasting capabilities. 1.4 million acre feet. There is just shy of 1.5 more Folsom reservoirs expected to run off in the next 4 months. So certainly that is something that we need to plan for in advance and have to account for somehow. We do that by applying a rolling 12-month-old forecast or operations outlook from an operational perspective where we incorporate that information. So it is something that is factored in heavily into our operational regime, and so we can properly manage the reservoir to not do anything incorrect. So in this next slide, we'll illustrate here sort of the finality of that information in planning ahead. So we do need to adjust our operations. And one of the things that we do is taking in account for that expected runoff for the season is increase our reservoir releases. So this particular slide shows what we call sort of a textbook operation. So right here where the arrow is pointing up in the storage graphic, you can see that we are not yet up to the shaded or the top line here where the gross pool. And many would ask, well, you know, you're allowed to move that storage all the way to the top. Why aren't you doing that? Well, we know for a fact that there's quite a bit more volume left to come. And it's not a comfortable spot to be from a reservoir operations consideration to be at the level of the reservoir capacity and still have a lot more volume coming in. You're at the whim of the inflow, and the outflow becomes extremely erratic at that point because you're just following Mother Nature. And in this case, we're increasing or maintaining our high releases during the summer period so that we come to a graceful peak. It looks like in about the first part or early to mid-July. Before we peak the reservoir storage condition and then gracefully evacuate and become ready for the next year's flood control season. So the next few slides are just to summarize what we've discussed. So rain on snow event, we are receiving that forecast from the CNFRC or the California and Nevada River Forecast Center. And again, there's really no process change in the short-term flood operations, like that 5 day out. We are utilizing ensemble routings to take care of some of that uncertainty. And also taking a close look at the freezing elevation and confidence that we have there, because it does make a big difference in what we think we may run off in the volume in a short period of time. Then to address that second question I had regarding snow melt in the watershed, we do consider that. Snow is a component of how we forecast or look at our outlooks on, like I said, a 12-month out rolling basis. It's a little bit coarser, it's a monthly model, but still it's enough information for us to afford additional increases in releases over the period of time. That April through July timeframe, where we expect the most amount of the snowmelt runoff. And this affords us, again, that our long-term operations are being appropriately adjusted so that we can come to that perfect refill timing and not undermine any of the benefits that we're gaining by using the watershed, or the reservoir itself as the shock absorber. And then lastly, just to put in a few points for our benefits for utilizing that forecast-informed reservoir operations or FURO, it does give us some additional flexibility. I didn't mention that we can afford a lower flood release during those periods of high inflow, because it smooths out, you know, time is really your friend. When you are allowing the reservoir to contain or dampen that inflow pattern that's coming in, reducing spills is also another feature. And you can become more efficient with your hydropower generation and more effective with sort of the overall resource, as well as refilling in the future with water supply benefits for either your downstream requirements or demands in the system. And with that, I'll just conclude with a couple of acknowledgments. I want to thank Brad Moore for a few of the slides, and really everyone at the Joint Operations Center. This is really a team effort, and our abilities to manage some reservoir in a way that is efficient and provides the best protection for flood operations as well. So I'm happy to take questions.
Okay, thank you, Randy. Are there any questions from the audience? Maybe. Okay, so Tracy Kenward wants to know, how did they settle on 25% exceedance?
For the forecast informed reservoir operation, right? I mentioned the National Weather Service, the California Nevada River Forecast Center, performed a suite of hindcasts. And we looked at possible routings, utilizing that in different events. And this particular threshold, the 25% exceedance, was fairly protective, given that we know that there is some uncertainty around the inflows coming into the system. So the larger events typically are underpredicted. So we felt that given our evaluation that this was a reasonable threshold. And then another component of the FURO is that it is adaptable. So as you get more information, and we're ideally updating this on a 6-hour time step, if the next forecast comes in and suggests some volume that's greater than expected or previously expected, that we can transition fairly quickly to adjusting our releases and increasing them in order to maintain the same level of protection in the future.
All right. Well, thank you, Randy.